Welcome to Present Company, the Netflix podcast that brings you dynamic conversations with exceptional people behind your favorite series, films, documentaries, and specials. I'm your host, Krista Smith. For years, I was Vanity Fair's ambassador to Hollywood, interviewing countless actors as well as creatives and authorities across the spectrum. My passion is talent, any form of it. How do you know you have it? How do you cultivate it? How do you protect it? And also, I want to get to the heart of what drives it. On this podcast, I'll be talking to people in Hollywood and far beyond. Thank you for joining me. In today's episode, you'll hear my interview with actress, producer, philanthropist, and author of the forthcoming memoir, Unfinished, Priyanka Chopra Jonas. Priyanka has had one of the most extraordinary career arcs I can think of, having established herself as a hugely successful and acclaimed star in the Indian film industry. She turned her sights on Hollywood and became the first Indian-born actor ever to lead an American TV series, ABC's Quantico. Now, in her latest feature film, The White Tiger, written and directed by Ramin Barani and based on the novel by Arvind Adiga, Priyanka delivers a visceral, arresting performance as Pinky Madam, as you can hear in this clip from the film.
Come here.
Madam, I'm really sorry, madam. I'll just stop.
It's fine. Sit.
I'll just stop eating pan, madam.
No, that's not what I'm... Just sit down. I think it's wrong the way you work for us. You should be finishing your education, starting your own family.
Ashok sir, and you are family to me, madam.
Don't say that. That's not true, Balram.
Really, madam?
No, you can't possibly believe that. Do you know what my parents do in America? They run this shitty little bodega in Jackson Heights, selling beer, pan, and porn. I used to do my homework in the basement. One night I saw my mom being held at gunpoint, and she still finished working the entire night. I got out, Balram. What is it that you want to do?
This film had such a profound effect on me. The timelessness of its themes, the complexity of its characters. It's a story that holds you in its grip and stays with you long after the credits roll. Priyanka called into the show from London. You'll hear the city's birds chirping away in the background. And I began by asking her to take me back to how she first got involved with The White Tiger. Tell me about your journey in getting to be in this movie and then produce this movie. How did it all come about?
Well, it's a funny story because I was just, as I do in the morning, you know, checking out Twitter, what's happening. And I read on one of the trade magazines that The White Tiger was being adapted for the movie by Netflix. And I just sat up because I remember the profound effect this book had had on me about almost a decade and something ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be a part of it. And I know that, you know, Pinky's bot, at least in the book, was, you know, sort of like a voyeuristic view of this person from Balram's perspective. But, I mean, as you've seen the movie, it's adapted quite a bit. But I knew that I had to be a part of this movie somehow. I knew that Ramin making this movie was amazing because the book is literally dedicated to him. And so I just knew that everything was coming together, right? So I called my agents and I said, would you guys offer my services to them as Pinky and as executive producer? Because I really feel very compelled to, especially in Hollywood, in Western entertainment or global entertainment, to really, you know, champion stories from South Asia. That's, as a producer, that's my quest. As an actor, it's my quest. It's not been the easiest for me when I pivoted coming from India to the US in finding, you know, non-stereotypical parts. It was a fight, you know, to be able to say that I don't always want to do my big fat Punjabi wedding, and I want to be able to play parts that are not defined just by necessarily where I come from. And I was really proud of Quantico for a big many reasons, but this one being one of them, that even though I played an Indian American, you know, I was just a girl saving New York in every episode. and So I really like want to be able to champion South Asian stories. I feel like there's massive representation that is required, you know, for South Asians, considering if you look around us in the US, you know, the country's full of immigrants from so many different parts of the world. But when you look at entertainment, you know, that's not reflected in global entertainment. So I was really thrilled that this movie was being made. I was really excited about the how it moved me so much. You know, a fictional story in Arvind Adiga's world, in about this one man who just, you know, pushes himself out of the circumstances that he was born in. And I related to that so much. I'm someone who's always wanted to evolve, always wanted to grow. I'm very ambitious. And I remember when I read the book, that sort of really moved me. It was his ambition and his deep-seated desire to just keep becoming better. I met Ramin. He was very kind to take a meeting with me. I met him in Mumbai. Then, you know, I met him again in LA. I auditioned with him. We did the scene a couple of times. He did the scene with me, in fact, and we just kind of played a little bit and found sort of what Pinky's character would be. He's very, he gives a lot of freedom to his actors, and it was such an amazingly immersive experience for me, and I was craving that anyway. But it was amazing to just like go into a scene and say, what if I try this? And just, you know, improv a lot with him. He was a great partner to do that with and really gave a lot of faith to his actors. So that's how it sort of happened.
Priyanka, do you remember what the audition scene was?
Yeah, of course. The one with Balram.
It was with
Balram,
right.
Where I tell him to, you know, what does he want to do? What his aspirations are?
I want to talk about that scene because the pivot in that scene was incredible. To me, it's like that's the heart of the film. That's like the turning point in the movie for me. How was it working with him as an actor? Because this is his first big role, right?
It's his first big part, yeah. Definitely. But Adarsh was made to play the White Tiger. I mean, from the time he came in, the first time that I met him at the table read to... just seeing his work through the movie, like, you know, you do work in your life that is sort of definitive of the, you know, the legacy that you will hold. And I think this is going to be a big part of Adarsh's legacy. He's a phenomenal actor, but he really came into his own in this one. And that scene, to me, I think you're right. I think it's a very pivotal point in the movie because I think it's probably... one of the first times that Balram was told that he needs to think about himself and not just service, and that he is also a human being that can have desires. When she asks him and she relates with him saying, listen, I don't come from privilege either. My mom was, you know, my parents worked at a bodega. I studied in the basement and my mom had to go back to work even after someone held her at gunpoint. So I pushed myself out of that circumstance too. And she uses herself as an example to level with him and say, what do you want to do? You have to think about, you should be whatever, you know, finishing your education or starting whatever your thing is. And to not, you know, your whole life doesn't need to be dedicated to the service of people. It can be a job. It doesn't have to be your life.
American audiences came to know you obviously through Quantico. And in India... you've had so much success and acclaim. You've done like 60 films. I can't even actually articulate your popularity and what you mean to people in India. Yet, despite all that success and the status and power that brings, you take on a role like this one that's supporting because you're so passionate about it. Can you tell me about that?
I've done about 60 movies, you're right. The kinds of parts that I've played have ranged from genres to screen time to supporting to leading to, you know, antagonist to protagonist to all kinds of things. And I've always been a believer that there are no small parts, there are just small actors, and I'm definitely not one of them. So attaching myself to this movie was, to me, a great joy. I don't bring the baggage of my individual achievements into the characters that I play. The characters that I play are their own people. And I choose and pick and curate the roles that I do very closely because I have to be extremely inspired to be on a set. That's when I do my best work. And I also I recognize very acutely that just because I've had a prolific career in one of the largest movie industries in the world in another part of the world doesn't mean that I come with that kind of entitlement when I'm starting my career literally all over again in another part of the world, which is what I did with Quantico. It was my first acting job in the US, and it was just a few years ago. So, you know, I'm giving myself the time to build, and I'm picking and choosing the kind of work that I'm doing in the US, you know, really building the body of work that I've had the good fortune of being able to build in India. I want to be able to do that in global entertainment as well. So I'd like for a little bit of time.
It speaks volumes about you as a person and your character and your perseverance that you can have this kind of fame and success, and yet, you know, the desire to come back to America, really, because you've had such an interesting upbringing in that as a teenager, you spent formidable years in places that most Americans have never been. I mean, Cedar Rapids. I mean, I'm from Colorado, so I actually have driven through Cedar Rapids, but, it's just such a unique thing. And it takes a great humility, but yet at the same time, a tremendous amount of confidence. And I'm kind of curious, where does that confidence come from that's matched by that kind of drive?
I think, first of all, thank you. You're very kind. And I do think a lot of everything that drives me comes from a place of confidence. And that I have to give credit to my upbringing. My parents raised me from when I could say my first word. They raised me in an environment in our home where my opinions mattered, where I was never told, don't do this because I said so. I was given a reason. I was always made to think about myself as a thinking person. And my dad and my mom really encouraged that. They encouraged my sense of adventure. They encouraged my sense of desires to try different things. I moved to America to live with my aunt and uncle when I was 12 years old, and it was my decision. I told my parents I want to live here with my cousins and go to school in the US while they were in India, and they never laughed at my ideas. So, you know, when you raise a child with a sense of self, you sort of don't feel afraid of failure. And that really lent, I think that sort of spirit really pushed me into not being afraid of trying new things. And the second thing, I think, I tasted failure at a very young age in my life. You know, when my movies weren't doing well, I was kicked out of movies when I first started because, you know, I didn't know the right people, and everything I learned was on the job. So I think I learned very quickly and very early in my life that nothing can substitute good work. If you can be as popular as you want, you can be as successful as you want, but today's news is tomorrow's trash. And to be relevant, you have to be relevant in the work that you do, and in consistently and in the moment. So, and no one can always know everything. So I try to be a student of life. I listen, I observe, I teach myself new things as I'm going along. I became a producer just about 4 or 5 years ago. And I had to teach myself the in and out of that job as well. I think I'm just willing to be a student of life, and that gives me the ability and the flexibility to try a lot of new things.
And what was the motivation to become a producer? Because you have your own production company and you do your own projects. What was that made you want to then also add that to your dossier, to your resume, to try?
Well, it was actually really funny. I always wanted to get into filmmaking somehow, but I was trying to figure it out after having so much experience, now almost 20 years of being in the entertainment business. I wanted to definitely pivot into, and I find business very fascinating. But it was my mom when I turned 30. It was really funny, actually. Now, in retrospect, when I turned 30, she was like, oh, at the ripe old age of 30, you're going to stop getting work as an actress because they just have to be younger and younger. So you need to think about plan B. And I have to say, That's the reason why I was like, oh, she's right. What if I stop getting work as an actor? Female actor specifically, mm-hmm. because same rules don't apply to the guys very often.
Right.
I started my company, but I focused on movies that actually didn't star me, or I didn't want my company to rest on my laurels as an actor because I wanted to be outside of me. So I started focusing on regional movies in India, which are not non-Hindi language, non-Bollywood. The localized industries, Marathi and Punjabi. And I started doing movies there. Then my acting career sort of moved to America with Quantico and all the other movies that I was doing here, that I decided to bring the company here. And now I have a first look deal with Amazon for TV content. I have a second look deal with CBS Viacom. And we're creating a whole bunch of really amazing movies and, you know, TV shows that are going to be announced next year. I mean, The White Tigers, one of them that I'm executive producing, but at the same time doing a movie with Mindy Kaling, which, you know, we're both producing together. That should be sometime next year. And a couple of others which are at the moment in development, but very, very exciting.
Well, you certainly in White Tiger show, American audiences will see the kind of range and depth you have. As an actress, what do you still want to achieve for you?
Oh my gosh, that's a loaded question.
Sorry.
So much. I want to achieve legacy, you know. I want to be remembered when people talk about contribution to cinema, and that's the kind of work I want to do. I want to be taken seriously for my craft. I want to be, you know, I want to be taken seriously for the artist that I am and the voice that I want to bring to the entertainment that I create as an actor, as a producer, or even as a writer. You know, I want to keep pushing the envelope and having a point of view in the work that I do.
Mm. Let's talk about your philanthropy also, because as well as being an actress, you also give so much back. And you've been working with UNICEF, and I know in your, I was reading about the stuff that you do with a tech startup with helping, certainly with females and coding, and a lot of energy centered around the betterment of girls and to provide more opportunities for young women.
Well, the way I see it, that was sort of inculcated in me again at a very young age. My parents had a very philanthropic sense, which was not even sort of seen as a special thing that you're doing. It sort of was just a duty. My parents had their own little local hospital in Bareilly, and they used to always have free beds for anyone who came in and couldn't afford treatment. You know, my parents would do free medical camps into villages just for free treatment, just for people who couldn't afford it. You know, education, supporting, you know, kids in our community. So I was raised sort of with that temperament, you know. And when I became Miss World at like 17, suddenly I saw the power of influence in a big way. I was thrown into this pageant world. I won it. And I was like, oh my gosh, now there are all of these people that are writing what I'm saying, so I better have something important to say. And at that time, when my trajectory in the entertainment business was just about starting, I really focused my mind on being able to use the platform that I was given. I took my social responsibility very seriously to put this platform to good use by making sure I take out time from every year of my life to make sure that I take this spotlight that's been put on me and spotlight things that require attention. And every year I've sort of developed and decided what I want to sort of help showcase, because eventually that's what I can do as a public person. I think, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, the consumption of news with my name on it is a lot more than more of the important causes that exist in the world. And so I become like a conduit to and me, and I, by that I mean, you know, public people that come into philanthropy, we become conduits of, you know, taking this message far and wide so that there's attention brought on to something that requires attention. And I hope to be able to continue to give back for as long as I can in every different way that I can.
It's very inspirational, your work that you've done. And I will say, on that note, I watched your YouTube show, and you have a job as an interviewer as well. So you could be doing my job right now.
I was like, I do enjoy that, though. I might come and shadow you someday, even if I have to play a part at it.
I was like, damn, she's good. Total natural, and you are such a good listener. One of the other things I want to ask you about before I let you go is you talk about ambition, and it was another thing I read about. Now you've been married 2 years, right? Am I right about
yes.
that? Anniversary, right? So congratulations. But
thank you.
You had said, like, one of the things that really you loved about Nick and initially is that he loved your ambition. He said to you, I love your ambition. And, you know, that's not something that women generally hear a lot. I hate to say that, but I still think it's true.
It's true.
How is it as a couple? And obviously he comes with his own, he may or may not be my favorite Jonas Brothers, don't tell anybody else, but obviously you guys are a, you know, a supernova. So how do you manage your ambition together?
Oh, it's so inspiring to come back home after a day of work and be able to discuss that with someone and have them give you insight that makes the next day better. That's the kind of partnership Nick and I have, is we have very individual careers and we have the freedom as artists to be able to discuss that with each other and say, you know, I was thinking about this idea, and then I riff with him and I was like, oh, I'm stuck on this scene, or he'd be like, what if we think about it this way? And it just makes both of us better. And there's such a freedom in being able to have, you know, a partner that is invested in you professionally as well, in a way, you know, and for your betterment. And I think we both really have found that with each other, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's beautiful. I can't wait to see what else comes from that relationship too, what you guys do together when you join forces.
Well, let's just say we've joined forces, and you'll find out very soon on what.
Okay. Okay, good. Also, so my final question about The White Tiger is, the film feels so global. It feels like it's got this, involves so much, obviously, of the human psyche. And like you were saying about, you know, coming from nothing and changing your perspective and changing the course and the narrative of your own life and what cost that it takes to do that. What do you hope that, like, audiences get from this film?
I hope this movie provokes people's minds. I hope it creates a conversation on the dinner table after you finish it. I hope it makes you think about life and humanity the next day. I hope it is interesting storytelling, which keeps you at the edge of your seat, because it actually is a thriller in itself, in my head as well. It really, like, you don't know where the story is going to pivot. And that's what I loved about the book, too. It was a page turner. I couldn't put it down. And the movie reflects that tremendously. It's so entertaining. You know, you're like at the edge of your seat. You don't know what's going to happen next. And I love watching movies like that. So I hope that outside of the takeaway, that this touches upon, you know, really sensitive, interesting, provocative notions and ideas, but at the same time, I think it's a really great piece of storytelling, which is, it's very, it sort of captures your imagination when you're watching it. I feel that way, and I hope that it does it to the audiences that watch it too.
Well, I'm so glad, Priyanka, that you came to America and then went back and came back to us.
Well, I'm really glad to be here.
and good luck with all of, I understand you're doing a movie and you're shooting two things at the same time. So good luck with all of that. And I really appreciate your time. So thank you.
Thank you so much. You're so kind.
Thanks so much for joining me. The White Tiger is streaming now on Netflix. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you've been listening. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Krista Smith. Join me next time for more meaningful conversations here at Present Company.